Ciao.
Thank you, sir.
Start the problem, start the clock.
Oh, here we go.
Well, that's how you keep track of time.
Now. We just got that.
Before we just talked until we were drunk.
All right. Hey, if any of your sponsors listen to this episode, Tom started at about 1 minute.
We are a fucking sponsor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude. Yeah, motherfucker. Welcome back, motherfuckers. We got this little motherfucker in here today, if you couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Why don't you, Jack, tell us a little bit about this guy before he introduces himself.
I will. So joining us today is the great up-and-coming race car driver, Nathan. He's a close family friend. We've actually known Nathan, oh my God, since he was 2, and he's 18 now. Ooh, he's legal, ladies, by the way.
I think are you single, single bud?
And he's, are you single?
Yes, sir.
He's tall and blonde and successful and smart, so if that's your thing.
I mean, you could do a lot worse.
I mean, I think I got 20 pounds on him, but he's 6 inches taller than
me. Yeah, he's tall. He's fucking tall, old beanpole. So, girls, if that's your thing, he's legal.
You slide into his DMs, as they say. Yeah. No, but we've known Nathan for quite a while. His mom, Larissa, worked with my wife for forever, and we met them and just became really fast friends, and they actually used to live by us, and they had a pool, so we were always at their house and their pool. Same thing kind of like with you guys. It was always at somebody's house, always drinking, always having a good time, always doing dinners, watching UFC fights. We started going out to the desert with him. Jason, who is Nathan's stepdad, actually raced and the King of Hammers with a buddy is his.
Really?
So I pit crewed for him 1 year, but we used to go fuck around and do that. And then when Nathan got into racing, we started to go see Nathan kind of later in his career when he started at the dirt tracks.
Yeah.
We would go watch Nathan at the dirt tracks, and then we've seen him at Irwindale. We've been to a bunch of his races, so.
Yeah. All right.
Welcome.
Welcome. So introduce yourself, little motherfucker.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me.
Oh, of course.
I'm Nathan Quella, 18. I've been racing for, 5 years? And like Jack said, close family friend of the K's, and of course, really excited to be here.
Oh, yeah, we're really excited to have him here,
listener of the podcast.
I know, he listens.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't recommend this for any of my friend's kids, but you seem all right, so.
Well, it was funny, too, because Jason, his stepdad's like, dude, I love the podcast. You know who loves it more? Is Nathan. And I was like, you let him listen to that? Like, oh, I forget. Okay, he's 17, he's 18, he's hung out with me enough, like, he's heard how
I mean, you've been seeing me since I was that young.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be different for you to see me as an 18-year-old.
It's different because every time I see you, you're like 5 inches taller. You did not used to be taller than me, and then I'll have to look up at you. I'm the shortest guy in the room again. Like, fuck, man. Were you 6'5 now?
6'2.
You know what's crazy about watching kids grow up, man, is that you just feel fucking old. Like, oh, man, yeah, I knew you since you were 2. Like, you were wearing a diaper, and now you're a fucking person. Like,
that up. An actual person with a job.
I'm not excited for that feeling.
Oh, no, it's terrible. You better fucking stick to racing.
Yeah. Retire young and stay young forever.
Yeah, so 5 years you've been doing this thing. How'd you get into it, man? How does one get into this? Okay. Oh, you know what?
Yeah, dude, we're skipping steps here. Jared is so excited.
You know what I'm really excited about? He brought us a bottle, even though he's not old enough to drink.
Yeah, well, we'll preface it with Nathan's mom is here.
Nathan's mom's going to drink for him.
She's going to drink for him. She purchased said whiskey.
Yeah, I mean, unless you bought it, but you look like a baby, so I fucking highly doubt it.
Dude, you can't even get parted for fucking spray paint at Home Depot.
You know you need a beard to be on this fucking show, right? So this is Whistlepig, man, which, so for anybody out there who does not know, Whistlepig is one of my favorites. This is Smokestack Whiskey. I've never had this. This is a limited edition, some kind of, I don't know, deliciousness.
It's Traeger. So we have a Traeger at home, and we grill on it all the time, and we're like, everything Traeger's good.
It's gotta be.
The rubs are good, the grills are good, the pellets are good. The whiskey's gotta be good. So I hope it's good.
You know,
but don't hold me to that. Don't hold me to that.
No, I mean, you're selling it. So.
I know. Jason, his stepdad, makes awesome shit. And he apparently makes a meatloaf. I've yet to have the Traeger meatloaf, but I heard it's like the greatest meatloaf you ever eat.
I hate meatloaf, and it's like something I look forward to.
We just bought a third of a cow. I have 75 more pounds of hamburger. I probably have 110 pounds of hamburger. I'll give you 5 if you want to make me some meatloafs. Like a giant loaf.
You know who doesn't eat meatloaf?
Who?
Me.
Why?
It's fucking terrible.
It's hamburger cake.
Yeah, I don't like hamburger that much, nor do I like cake that much. And when you put them together, I like it less.
You don't have to pour some of that whiskey. While you're pouring it onto it.
So, wait. This is 86 proof.
There we go.
That is 43% for everybody out there asking. And yeah, so this is a collab that they did with Traeger. Fuck it.
Let's try it. And while we're doing it, Nathan's
going to... We'll let you know how it is, Nathan.
Going to draw the wife's question. Oh, yeah.
That's just questions now.
Oh, yeah, that's just questions now.
Mm. All right.
Mm. This is from Katie.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck.
Doubled up.
Is there an animal that you think is sexy?
Oh, you fucking dickhead, Katie. You piece of shit.
I need more drink than this. Give me that glass. Pass me that glass.
Yep, one for my...
Tre Glazer. Mom's getting a healthy fucking portion she's drinking for two people.
Oh, crikey.
He's old enough to drive.
That's generous. Here.
You brought it.
Smells good.
Cheers, brother.
There we go.
Ear cheers to the child not drinking.
Yep.
And cheers to my. Cheers to my. Let's
see what this fucking whistle pig's about.
That's not bad.
Ooh. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Is there an animal you find sexy? I mean, there's animals I like to hunt. I think they look good, but...
Katie wants to know if you want to fuck, like, an animal. Like some bestiality shit. Katie's a dickhead. Fuck you, Katie. No matter what you say, it's the wrong answer. So you go first, bud.
Yeah, man, you're in it. You picked it.
Oh, I'm going to start with hell no. That's not my style.
Okay. Can we modify it? Can you say what's your favorite animal?
No.
Oh,
my favorite animal is the one that tastes the best.
Yes.
I think there are a lot of pretty animals. Not sure. That I would fuck, but that I would not mind as a trophy in my room. So maybe a mermaid? Might be a sexy.
There we go.
There it is. Sexy.
Is that the thing?
Yeah. You've seen The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, you're just fucking Ariel's head on your wall. Yeah, God, just, you're fucking messing up, dude. Yeah.
But she's got to have the tits and the seashells, too. Keep the tail. I don't give a fuck about that.
That is a top class Disney murder joke, folks. Yes. You are welcome.
Thanks, Katie. Had to go dark on him. Oh, man.
Mm. I don't know. There was a Jack. Dude, I want to leave.
I want to go.
I'm gonna go hug my golden doodle. Fucking apologize.
Your gay golden doodle.
My gay golden doodle. He hugs you back from the back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a big bull elk is sexy.
Yeah.
Just because they're regal. Like, they got those. And everybody, a lot of people like to hunt elk because they're so massive and they're so loud. And it's like, I could get goosebumps thinking about hunting them right now. Like a elk bugle at 5 o'clock in the morning when it's 20 degrees and pitch black. And
that does it for you?
Oh, dude, it's fucking...
Yeah?
Makes it flutter like a pigeon having a heart attack.
There you go. Huh.
People are like, what did they bring this kid on to talk about? What the...
Yeah.
He's a race car driver?
Who the great start.
Yeah, dude.
Bestiality? Yeah, no, I think golden retrievers are sexy.
What a great question.
All right. Well, now, right, welcome. Okay. Good morning if you're listening to this at 5 a.m.
Yeah, on your 5 a.m. on your way to work.
Or on your way to hunt elk.
Yeah, your way to hunt elk or a mermaid for that fucking case.
I wonder if people are in their car right now like, what do I think is sexy?
Oh, I wonder what Joe Rogan's talking about.
The last elk Joe Rogan shot, man, was sexy. Oh, yeah. He fucking hit with his crossbow, that thing, or his bow and arrow, that thing was... Compound bow, whatever you want to call them. I don't know the terms, man, but that was a big old fucker. He paid a lot of money for that.
Oh, yeah, he's got the money to do that, so.
Yeah. What a zinger. What a fucking terrible question.
Oh, man.
It's like, if you had to fuck one guy, who would it be? Like, what?
Yeah, there's no correct answer.
No, there's only losers, right? Yeah, like, fuck me, man.
Okay.
All right, man, so.
Now you can get in. You can move the microphone close to your mouth and you can get in.
I don't wanna. I'm Stevie Wondering over here. All right, man. So a little bit about you, man. You're 18.
Yep.
You're fucking tall. You're skinny. You're single. Ladies, Facebook dating. Do you Facebook date?
I don't have Facebook. I got Instagram, though.
Do you Instagram? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
I don't know. Snapchat definitely is. I see a lot of like dating going on through that.
Nice.
Just Instagram, your weight, there's a lot of just things.
The world is yours.
You'll get there eventually.
Oh, I want to thank you. I had a Snapchat. I got rid of it.
Jack with his zero social medias.
I have the Instagram.
Hey, he's got it. Yeah. He...
Shattered Wisdom Jack. Oh, yeah. Do you want to do our shameless shit first?
Sure. YouTube, Shattered Wisdom. Check us out. Subscribe, like, yeah, watch.
Hey, we just hit 500 subscribers on YouTube.
Yes, 503.
We need 500 more. So if you have not yet, please go do that.
Yes, please.
Or like 500,000 more.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, why stop at 500? Okay. I like Nathan. Nathan's hired.
Nathan said he'll come hang out with you if you subscribe.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I can't be held under contract to that. But.
Yeah, no, you already got a contract.
But TikTok, Shattered Wisdom. Instagram, Shattered Wisdom Podcast. Obviously, I'm ShatteredWisdom_Jack. ShatteredWisdom_Jarrett.
You have two?
X Shattered Wisdom.
Yeah, I got Nathan Quella Racing. These are both on Instagram. And then just my first and last name, Nathan Quella on Instagram. So go check me out there if you're watching.
And you run your own social medias?
Yeah, I co-run the racing account with my mom. And then
so ladies.
My personal account's my personal account. So
do not send.
If you want me, go to my personal account.
Yes, ladies, be careful. Because if you get a fucking message back like, I can't believe this shit, sent to the wrong one, sorry.
They'll be like, what? He's 18. It's not illegal.
It's not illegal. It might be frowned upon by certain people.
But mom might not appreciate it.
Yeah,
it's fine. So high school, you still doing that? You graduated what?
Senior in high school. Okay. El Dorado High School.
Okay.
Honestly, staying out here, we've just set up a move to North Carolina, but staying out here to finish out my education here and keep with my friends that I've had since middle school.
Okay.
Nice.
All right.
So let's get right into it about your racing that Jared had started to launch into.
And then we got interrupted with a question.
Horrible paradox of a question. Yeah, so why don't you tell us, like, when you started, how you got started?
Well, I started in 2019, I think it was the first time I raced. I had driven, I think for my ninth birthday, I got a JR1 trophy cart. Started driving that out in the desert. Flipped it a handful of times.
Remember that?
You're not driving hard enough if you don't wreck it. Eventually got a JR2 cart. We talked about racing those, but those races just weren't that cool. Sold the second cart, and then just kind of didn't know where we were going to go from there. Ended up buying a car that we're like, oh, we can take it to the desert, and we can take it racing. That never worked, so it turned into a full-time race car, and... Mm-hmm. Got a Yamaha YXZ 1000 and raced that on short course 2019 up until 2022.
Yeah, so I remember 21. We used to go, you raced at Glen Helen. So yes. We used to go watch you race there.
Yeah, those Glen Helen races, those were long days. There's a lot that goes into putting together that car and getting it out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into getting the 300 pounds of dirt that gets kicked on there off. Mm, yep. But I think I learned a lot from that and from that experience, and I think it taught me a lot about what I use in racing today.
So what are you racing nowadays?
So now I run in the Lunker Daddy Pro Late Models at Madera Speedway.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
For those
somebody's
of us
daddy.
Who don't.
Somebody's daddy. Yeah, okay. You don't have to call him daddy when you race, do you? Poor bastard.
Hey, that's just the people who pay for it, man.
Lunker Daddy? Is that
Lunker Daddy. It is a track sponsor, but I race in a NASCAR Pro Late Model Division, 350 horsepower, full-bodied stock car.
Okay.
They are a hell of a lot of fun, and I still kind of have to, like, how did I get here? Because how did I go from not even racing these small little 10 horsepower go-karts off-road to now I'm driving a 350 horsepower NASCAR?
Well, it's night and day too, right? Like the track versus the dirt versus the fucking setup versus, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of shit, right? You're running full slicks all the way around, so you're pinning it in the corners, you're not fucking slipping, you're not sliding. It's like Talladega Nights, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I'm gonna drop the hammer.
I'm dropping the hammer.
Yeah.
But it's been really, really weird. It took me a while when I got into Legends cars, which is what I did before before the late models, going from dirt to asphalt and with dirt, to be fast, you have to slide the car, and you have to use the lack of grip to create grip, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
With these asphalt cars, it's how stuck can you get the car to the ground, and how much balls do you got to to carry as much speed as you got through the corner.
Okay. So is there a, do you know like a certain, you don't have miles per hour in there, right? You're running RPMs, so you're reading your RPMs instead of, you're kind of guesstimating, I'm guessing?
Well, my tack is broken, so I haven't seen RPM on that car.
So he beat races by sound.
But we've got...
Got it. All right,
we've got a rev limiter at 6,200 RPM, and when I hear...
You're there.
Then I know I'm going fast.
Okay.
We went out to Kern County Raceway Park. We were going to race out there, big half-mile track. Front straightaway, about 120 mile an hour.
Okay.
Nice. Average speed around the track, about 100, 102 mile an hour.
Okay.
So that's we're 100,
so going slow.
100, yeah, 120 down the straightaways, 80 to 90 in the corners.
So you don't know how fast you're going into the corners. It's feel. If you feel like you're slipping, let off. If you feel like, or maybe accelerate more so for grip. I don't know how that works.
With these, it's very. With the Legends cars, they felt like a race car. With these, it just feels kind of like a Cadillac.
Really?
Where you have to be really. There's so much. To do so little in this car.
Really? Okay.
Like, you got to go here to get the car to turn that much.
Okay.
And you really got to crank the wheel to get it to go.
Yes. In the center of the corner at Madera, where I race most of the time, really tight corner, you're here on the wheel.
But that's good so you don't overcorrect and fuck yourself up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did I have to do with the wheelbase, right? Because Legends are like...
Legends are really, really
golf,
small.
They're like a golf cart. I mean, they're... To watch you... get shoehorned into a Legend is kind of fucking funny.
Is that one of those little ones that you have to fucking go through to the top?
Yeah, they look like they look like an old hot rod.
Yeah, you have to dig and do fucking sick ass burnouts of those.
I used to get through the side in those things, and it's like this the whole time.
Huh.
And I'm cramming myself in there, and I'm sitting here like this. Those things are a total pain to get into, but they're a lot of fun to drive. With these, it's a little more like driving a normal road car.
Really? Okay. So you race Irwindale's like your home-ish track?
It was for the longest time, and it's still the track closest to my house.
Okay.
We're going to race out there August 31st in the Cars Tour West. Cars Tour is a big deal owned by a bunch of NASCAR drivers back east.
Okay.
They opened up to the West Coast this year for our West Coast late model rules, and we were supposed to run the first race at Irwindale, and it was going to be a lot of fun. Got rained out, so we're doing this August 31st, I think.
Yeah,
that's what the board says, so I hope it's right.
Should be.
We'll fucking we'll quality control this. 100 insert lap, date here.
100 lap race. It,
oh dang!
Yeah, 100 laps on a half mile track. It's a. It definitely takes a lot out of you, but I think I'm up for it. We did a 100 lapper at Madera a couple weeks ago, and then we got another 80 lapper this weekend.
So, do you train for that? Because I've heard like guys that race for like the Baja 1000.
Yeah, like you don't drink water the day before.
No, but you train like you're going to run a marathon.
Yeah.
Like, those guys could get out of that if they are in that kind of shape to do that. Yeah.
I mean, I train a lot, not as much as some people, but I definitely do train a lot. I go to the gym whenever I have time. Oddly enough, my job, actually...
Excuse me, what does he need to do? You win. Good job.
My job, I actually get to train arms and legs just by pushing carts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. What do you do for work?
I work at Stater Brothers.
Okay. So, have you seen that Instagram, the cart narcs?
I have not.
You haven't? Man. Oh, man, you look that up. That's
have to check it out.
Hilarious.
I went to Vaughn's the other day, and there was a fucking shopping cart sitting in the middle of a parking spot, and I had my daughters with me, and I was like...
Someone was telling me about this. That's what it was. Someone was telling me about this. Like, it's the best thing, because they call them out, right?
Yes.
They call them out for leaving their carts there.
Like, they put a sticker on your car.
Like a magnet.
Stuff. And they're like, why didn't you put your cart back? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? I can't listen to it, because it makes me so uncomfortable. But I love it.
It is fucking
That's
hilarious.
Awesome.
You check that out. We'll send it to you so you can have something to laugh about. Because I'm sure you fucking find carts in the dumbest fucking places.
Yep. We back up to a really big street in Yorba Linda. And our whole parking lot's a little bit downhill.
Okay. Oh, you gotta run
so
away.
So I walk in 300 feet from the door of the store down to get these carts that people leave all the way at the back of the parking lot.
Oh, so you are getting a good workout.
Come on now.
Yeah, think about it. If you don't want to go get them, they don't want to bring them back.
No, I this year, all told, days that I'm working, days that I'm not, I walk about 4 miles a day.
Nice.
When I work there, it's between 6 to 8 miles a day.
Damn.
Dang. Well, that's good. I mean, you got to be, your endurance is really what you're going for.
Yeah, it's, and that's something I've struggled with my heart problems.
Yeah.
which I think we'll get into later.
Yeah.
But I've had to train myself to get through these races. When I first did an asphalt race, I got out of it, and the first one that I actually finished all the way through, I was drenched in sweat. Oh, yeah. My left calf was cramping for 15 minutes straight.
You mean that thing's not automatic?
But, yeah, it took me a while to get used to it and to get used to the physicality of it. Yeah. These cars are actually a lot less physical, but you're still in there. I think our last race was an hour and 34 minutes. Yeah. So
in 100 laps, how often do you have to pit? Like, say, like, you have no fucking problems. Are you changing tires in 100 laps? You're just running it. No gas, no, you're running
it. Nope. Madera, okay. And a lot of tracks where you're going to run 80 to 100 laps, they'll have a 5-minute break in the middle.
Okay.
We have a 10-minute break that we take at halfway. Can't change tires, but you can make adjustments. Anything that... I think you're allowed to jack up the car, but you're not allowed to put it on jack stands.
Okay.
Can so you get fuel, or do you not even need it? That's only 50 miles, right?
Yeah, how far is it? How big is your fuel cell?
It's, I think it's like 15, 20 gallons.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good size.
It'll last a whole race.
Okay.
One of my buddies did run out of fuel, though, so they underfueled his car in the last race.
But, try to save weight?
Yes.
Oh, bummer.
Because you want to get right on that 2885, I think is the number.
Is the weight of the car.
Yeah.
Okay.
2875.
Dang.
That's I couldn't drive because I'm already over that. I'm like, sir, send the car. I'm driving out here.
Oh, it says 3,100 pounds.
Yeah, I'm driving with this remote control.
So why don't you tell us, so we've got some other things on here. Why don't you talk about some crashes, some funny stories, some stuff, because we've...
And maybe funny now, but when you're in it, probably not funny.
Yeah.
You had some oh shit moments?
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of them. One of them was out in the desert. It was the first time I really flipped.
Okay.
I was like 10 in my little JR1 cart. I never liked to go out with everybody on the long rides. I just like driving around on a little track we would make around the pit or around where we were camped. So I go into this corner and I dig the tires into the ruts, and I overcooked it, flipped it, and I'm on my side. And Jason, my stepdad's on the radio, like, "You all right?" And I get on the radio, I'm trying to figure myself out because I'm on my side.
Right.
I get on the radio, "I'm okay a little bit." So that's something that we still say in the house.
I'm okay a little bit.
What else? I've had a lot of them. I've been upside down more times than I'd like to admit.
So I know that right after you put the stickers on, you fucked your bumper up.
Yeah, that... I'm not going to take ownership of that. That was not my fault.
Well, if it's on the front of your car and the back of somebody else's, it's usually... If your insurance isn't getting involved, it's your fault.
You know what happened? We got driven over.
Really?
So I was trying to miss a wreck in this last race, and it was my first late model race. I'm scared to death. Trying to miss a wreck because I don't want to wreck my car I don't own.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm checking up, going to the low side because there's a car spun in the middle of the track, and this guy comes through and just drives over my left front, and that just, it knocked the toe out. I kept getting hit, got turned, went to the back, ended up having to just kind of move everything out of the way in the left front. Barely got out on track on the lead lap because we had to come into the pits twice, but...
And that's like quick hurry up, just fucking make it work kind of maintenance?
Yeah. Yes.
That's like fix it with a hammer.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Put some tape on that bitch.
It was pull it out, pull the fender out so that it's not rubbing on the tire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you had a pretty bad wreck in your side-by-side, though.
Yes, I had one that was pretty bad. Had a lot that were pretty bad. I had one where we pushed the frame of the car about 5 inches back.
Oh, shit.
I don't know how I managed to do that, but... It was the start of a race. I started fourth out of probably 15, 20 cars. And at Glen Helen, you got three jumps on the front straightaway. And then you go through this really fast, flat out, like 75-degree left-hand corner off of a big tabletop jump and into the second corner.
Picturing it in my mind right now.
So they water the crap out of these tracks. They overwatered them every time in this series I was racing. So I get through the gears, I get up to third, take off of that jump, going into the corner, and I go through the corner, I'm on the outside of this car. And this kid is full factory, like, all his stuff's paid for, he's all fully sponsored. Kid's probably 5 years younger than me. So imagine how young I was then.
Yeah.
Knock 5 years off of that. And we go through the corner, and I start seeing him come up towards me, and I'm moving out as far as I can as we go off this jump. And he keeps coming, and he keeps coming. And we get up into the air. This is an 80-foot jump, takeoff to landing.
Yeah.
There or thereabouts. We're about 7 feet up in the air. So he hits me. I'm going straight off this jump. He hits me sideways. I get on the right side of the car, and it's... I almost had it saved, and the right rear just caught. Did a Ricky Bobby-style barrel roll. And Mom didn't like that. Mom and Grandpa and Jason and my dad all started running.
Yep.
And there were some words with that kid's dad, but we made it out, and we actually ran more races, same car, later that day. So I got to give credit to Jason and everybody that was helping me get that car back out on the track. But I was a little sketched out.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. In the air, getting hit in the air. I would have been like, all right, I'm done.
We're third gear on the rev limiter at 65 miles an hour off that jump. And he hits me 7 feet up in the air, 65 miles an hour, and that's when I start flipping. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. But
yeah. Well, you did. You survived. You're still with us. You're still racing.
Just barely.
So did you get him back?
No, I did not. Mm. And he is still,
there's still time.
Factory sponsored. He's in dirt racing. I do asphalt stuff now. I'm cool. Okay.
You don't carry the grudge over.
I'm a pavement princess.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that's a fucking real thing.
Too. It's funny, too, because I remember when you got a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And your mom and Jason were like, yeah, Nathan got a truck. And I was like, why?
He's like, 10.
No, like he got his driver's license in a truck to drive on the road. And I'm like, why? He races cars. Why would he? And it, for me, it like took a while that you actually were going to drive a vehicle on the road. And I'm like, but you drive race cars. Why would you drive a car on the street?
That sounds boring.
It was a very strange concept to me. And I was like, well, he's 16 now, and he's this, and he's that, and he's the other thing. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
So what's
trucks are cool.
Yeah, trucks are cool. So what's the difference for you? Do you feel now that you've raced on asphalt and done that, is there a difference when you drive your car on the street? Like driving to work, driving around, because I worked at the Outdoor Channel a long time ago and we sponsored race car. And the guy came, we met him. This is, I'm gonna date myself here. This is,
let's hear it.
2004.
Damn, I wasn't even born.
No.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up. Fuck. Shut the fuck
sweet.
Up.
And it's been nice having you here. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. Yeah,
and look at it, he just left. Fuck it. All right, me and Jack will finish the show.
No, it was 2004, and we asked him about, he raced for NASCAR, and we asked him about, oh, what's it like, you know, when you're driving on the road? And he was like, I hate driving on the car, on the road. He goes, I hate driving on the freeway. We're like, but you race cars all the time. He goes, I race cars on a closed course with other professionals. And he looked at us and he said, all of you are not professional drivers. I don't care how long you've been driving. You are not professional drivers. And he said, I'm like a cat in a bathtub. Like, I just panic in the front seat because...
I like to think I'm a professional driver.
But I'm like, you're 2 inches from the guy in front of you. And you're doing 140 miles an hour. And that's, he goes, yeah, that's, we all know what we're doing.
So rubbing is racing, yeah, that's a real thing?
Definitely in racing, not so much on the street.
I don't think
Mercury would be too happy with me if I took that advice literally.
No.
But
but on the track, yeah, you rub a little bit, you let them know you're there.
I mean, if you look at the bumper from the last race, there's some scratches.
Nathan gets a little heated.
I get a little frustrated.
I've been in the pits when he comes back from some races when he was racing his car at Glen Helen, and we just start scraping dirt off, and he'd be like, this guy, that burn around, he'd be storming around like, oh, I'm just gonna clean dirt off. Let me bite him and knock 12 pounds of mud off, hopefully it helps.
I feel like I've grown up a little bit from that. Still goes on in my head, but it's all about trying not to put that out to anybody else.
Oh, it's all right.
Don't let me drive. You have people who can listen into your radio?
My spotter, my crew chief, anybody that has access. Only people that have access to
your frequency. Okay.
But no, driving on the road, I don't even think about it. It's easy to me.
Right.
There are definitely a lot of not super good drivers out there.
Yeah.
That's the nice way to put it. But it's, that's the frustrating thing is like, for me, I've only ever known how to drive. Like, that's the way that my brain operates is driving. I've been around people who drive constantly. My dad drives hundreds of thousands of miles. My stepdad drives hundreds of thousands of miles. Even my mom drives a lot. So driving is just second nature to me.
Yeah.
And seeing it, like, people not be able to figure it out is like, come on now. But that's just the way that my brain works, and it's not the way that theirs does. So,
don't get a motorcycle. You won't realize how bad people drive when you get one.
I got my motorcycle license, and I worked with a guy named Rat Salt. And Rat was in the X Games. He raced in Baja. And I was like, yeah, I got my motorcycle license. I'm going to buy a bike. And he's like, why'd you do that? I can't believe you fucking did that, Jack. I mean, he was legitimately angry at me. And I was like, Rat, I've seen the videos of you doing 100 miles an hour flat out on a fucking dirt bike through the desert. He goes, it's a race. We're all racing. We're doing this. We're doing that. He goes, you're going to ride a motorcycle around these cars and these people to do this shit? Like, you're fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you were in the X Games for Street Luge. You've done 70 miles an hour laying down on the side on a fucking skateboard.
Hard pass.
And you're going to tell me I'm crazy because I'm riding a Buell Blast, a 500cc one-cylinder giant moped? Yeah. Oh, he was super mad at me, so. Don't get a bike.
Well, you know, I've always, not always, but recently I've been like, those are so cool, but she would never let me, my dad would never let me because he used to ride street bikes and he does not want me to follow in those footsteps.
Yeah.
You really learn how shitty other people drive when you're on a bike.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you almost have to predict what they're going to do. I mean, like, I don't know.
And it's the same thing in racing. You have to predict what other people are going to do, and you sit there and you're like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, is that really what's going through your head right now? But some people just can't pay attention to anything other than themselves.
And people will, so I mean, I'm assuming, so I have seen NASCAR, but in NASCAR, I'm assuming it's the same. Like, people will try to cut you off to not let you pass, right? I mean, like, even if you're faster than them, that throws off your whole fucking momentum and everything, right? So they'll, like, cut you off low on turns, high on turns, whatever. So it's a mind game, right? It's chess, not checkers.
Exactly. And that's why, I'm going to say it now, a lot of race car drivers are weird. Cool. Because to be good at it, you have to have a mind that works that way, that plays chess at 180 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Because that's really what racing is. You go to Talladega, you go to Daytona, they're doing 200 mile an hour on the straightaways. It's chess. It's how can I position myself to get by this guy and get by this guy without wrecking myself.
Right. And then there's you get speed by following behind somebody, right? There's drag and there's a lot of fucking things that go into this that your everyday person who just is listening to this doesn't really understand, because it's hard to fathom that you can go faster being behind somebody than you can if you're in front.
Even in these late models, these like slow tracks, it still makes a difference.
Really?
When you're following someone, one, it creates a barrier of air that you don't have to cut through.
Right.
Makes your car more aerodynamic. And two, it gives you something to chase, which in the minds of a lot of drivers, it's, okay, I see what that guy's doing. I'm going to do it, but better. So when I first tested the late model, I felt like I did okay, but I still was kind of clueless because I hadn't followed anybody.
Okay.
Well, we went to another test, and I started to be able to follow people. And it helped me to understand, okay, here's what I'm doing wrong. Here's what I can do better.
Right.
And when you get behind somebody, especially on a bigger track like Kern or Irwindale, takes away so much air that you have to cut through, and you suck right up to them.
Okay.
And then once you get there, that's the hardest part, because now you got to find your way by them, because they know exactly what line you want.
Right.
So they're not going to give it to you.
100%.
Well, so Nathan, too, is... If you haven't picked up by how well-spoken he is, Nathan is incredibly intelligent.
Yeah, leave the motherfucking
tongues. Like, no, he's...
We'll come out to your races, motherfucker, everybody out there.
But no, Nathan has always been an incredibly smart child. So if you have that, and then you are able to understand the fluid dynamics.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand that air is not a gas, air is a liquid. And if you understand this, and you start to understand physics principles and drag and all that kind of, and you can have that kind of engineering mindset, and you can think through the mechanics of what you're trying to do, it's just going to make you a better driver. So,
well, and there's a reason that all these cars are put together pretty much the same fucking way, right? With this far off the ground, this whatever setup, this aerodynamic thing, this fin, this whatever, they're engineered specifically to go as fast as they can.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a lot of mathematics. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, if you have to understand, because you have to drive it, so you have to be able to tell them, like, hey, I'm losing power to here, or whatever the case. You know, like, hey, we need to adjust this. So you have to have a fucking understanding where I would jump in and be like, I think it's fine.
Well, and that's something you have to teach yourself to an extent. Okay. In racing, you can be as smart as you want. You can be a total nerd and know everything about how a race car works. You can get in the seat and you have no idea what you're doing. Okay. You got to teach yourself to feel, honestly, with your ass, is feel what the car's doing in every part of it, every part of the track, every part of the car. Okay. Because you can, from there, tell the team, I think this can do better here. I think the car can rotate more in the center of the corner. And when you get that, once you're more rotated, you can get to the throttle.
Okay.
You get to the throttle half a tenth earlier, that's half a tenth you gain on the next guy. Okay. And when you're racing at a track like Madera, Madera's arguably the most competitive track in the country.
Really?
It was my first race last time we were out here. And I qualified fifth, 6/100ths of a second off of the fastest guy.
Really? You were talking milliseconds. The
top nine cars were separated by a tenth of a second.
Holy shit.
And a tenth of a second is a quarter of the time it takes for you to blink your eyes. It takes you about 400 milliseconds to blink your eyes.
Jesus.
So 4/10ths of a second is the time it takes for you to blink your eyes. The entire field of that race, all 20 of us, were within 4/10ths of the fastest guy.
Dang.
So it's so, so close. And when you get those half of a tenth,
it matters.
That's two spots.
Well, so funny,
half a tenth quicker than I went in qualifying would have put me second.
You are another person that I've heard say you have to feel your race car with your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've heard a couple people say that. Hmm. Like, oh yeah, I feel my car with my ass. Like, I can, you can tell it, you can read it, you can whatever with.
I mean, I guess on motorcycles too, I mean, it's kind of the same because everything's like your hips and below, you're kind of fucking throwing things around. So I can see that, but I don't know that I'm knowledgeable enough to do. Obviously, it's a fucking thing that you do, but I don't know that I'm knowledgeable enough to be able to get into a car and say, like, hey, I need you to tweak this over this because when I went into that turn, I felt a little drag or I felt a little pull or I felt a little. Like, if it's fucking small, which I'm sure these corrections are fucking small, I'm the kind of person who just fucking, I'll deal with it. I'll drive like this. You know, I'll fucking make it work.
They are such small little adjustments to make in the grander scheme of things. But as a race car driver, once you've been doing it long enough and once you get that feel, it feels ginormous. Okay. If the car is just a little bit too tight, too snug in the center, and the front tires just don't turn quite as much as you want them to, you feel it and you're like, oh, this thing's dump trucking through the center of the corner.
Okay.
And when you're with a team as good as mine and a team that knows what they're doing, they can hear what I say and they can take that feedback and say, okay, I know exactly what it's going to take to make this better.
Sure.
I know exactly how much of an adjustment on what thing to get the car to do exactly what he wants it to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to me to go show them that I was right.
Yeah. To implement
right.
that.
Yeah, yeah. Show it on the fucking, on the clock, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, we want to know that it works because you're faster now.
We don't make those adjustments to go slower.
No,
we make those adjustments to, to get those extra little bits because we show up to win.
So how often do you test?
So we tested 3 times before I actually raced the car.
Okay.
We don't test too much once I kind of get settled in a car.
Right, because you have to pay for the track time. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's expensive. It's
track time, got to pay the team, got to pay the crew guys.
Wear and tear on the car. I mean, I'm sure there's
exactly.
a lot. I'm sure
that, tires are a total pain with this car.
So after all of your races, are they breaking down your whole motor and making sure nothing's fucked up and then putting it back together? Is that the kind of thing they're doing?
It's they check that stuff, but you don't have to break the motor down. These are sealed motors.
Okay.
They are just crate motors from Chevy, like $6,000 motor.
Yeah.
Not some like built $40,000 motor.
Right.
So as long as the thing's not making noises and not smoking,
you're fine.
Just change the oil and fucking let her rip.
As long as it doesn't.
And you're running straight pipes on that thing.
Or
fucking just head
just headers so going out
loud.
The right side.
So
oh
loud.
Yeah. They're real loud in the car. You definitely hear them more from from a spectator's perspective, but I've got earplugs in, I've got tape over the earplugs, and it's still like you almost feel it more than you hear it. You fire the thing up and the whole car shakes. Like you flip the ignition, you hit the starter and it
really
like the whole thing moves. Okay. It's crazy. It was super, super cool the first time I got to do it. And it's still cool every time I get to. And honestly, I'm excited to do it again this weekend.
But that's like an awesome thing to hear.
Yeah.
As in it was cool the first time. It's still cool to do it now.
Well, you don't get tired of that.
No. That's how you know that's what you should do. Mm-hmm. Because people who do this their whole lives and things, they get burnt out, man. If you play a sport your whole life, you're kind of like, fuck, do I have to go to practice? Do I have to do this? But if it's something cool, man, that you enjoy, you're like, I want to go fucking drive my car.
Yeah. So let's talk about your future.
Wait. Let's back it up.
We got notes here.
So you have a race August 31st.
I'm sorry.
So let's preface it this, right? So
shameless plug.
Shameless plug. So we're gonna open that up to anybody who wants to come, and we are gonna raffle off some pit passes.
So
you gotta stop making so much noise. We can pick all that
we're
shit.
We're gonna raffle off your mom.
It's all my mom's fault.
No, it's free.
So pit passes to get in and fucking and meet you and your crew and see the car and
take a picture next to the Shattered Wisdom podcast fucking stickers. I think we're gonna try to get there too.
Yeah.
August 31st. I think we're going.
I'm gonna fill in the details.
Yeah, go. Let her rip, Tater Chip.
Cars Tour West at Irwindale Speedway, August 31st. It's about 20 minutes outside of LA.
Mm-hmm.
Super, super fun track. They always put on a great show. Great amenities for fans. Every seat there has a great view. If anybody wants to come out, feel free to come out. We've got an autograph session at 5:45. Mm. You can come down and meet me and all the other drivers and see all the cars.
No, fuck them other drivers.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm the important one.
Exactly.
Hey, don't come fucking hanging out thinking you're going to meet other drivers.
I'm the Shattered Wisdom guy.
We're not fucking seeing anybody else.
But yeah, we're gonna put together a prize package, try to throw some shirts, some pit passes, stickers, hero cards, like signed autograph cards. So feel free to come out, and then to whoever wins that, good luck to everybody.
No.
Yeah.
No.
What?
We're going to win. If you ain't first, you're last.
Oh, Christ. We're sponsors, dude. We'll be there. We'll be fine.
Hey, guys are sponsors. You get the pit pass.
Yeah, right? No. We'll come hang out, but we'll put it up, man. I think you got a good thing going, man. So
We'll put it up on all our Instagrams. Yeah. We'll put it out there, and I follow Nathan, both of his, so you can get on mine, you can go to Jarrett's, we all follow him, so we'll start putting it on there and let people know. Absolutely.
Yeah. I love the fucking track.
I am too.
If you're going to race there, I'll be there.
We were supposed to run earlier in the year, and it was a total bummer that we didn't get to, because I feel like it was going to be my first race.
Yeah.
This big stage, 100 lap on a half mile track. I was a little scared, but it was going to be a really good race, and we were so bummed that we got it canceled, but very excited that this opportunity.
Yeah, opportunity, and you know what, man? I'm glad that now we get to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely, it'd be so rad. Huh. But let's talk about that more. So, racing is a team sport.
Yes.
So, tell us a little bit about your team, your sponsors, but tell us kind of about like the dynamics, how that works, because people don't necessarily understand that.
Yeah, everybody thinks it's an individual sport, and I get it to an extent. It is, especially at a late model level, because. Yeah. You don't have these live pit stops where you're trying to, whose pit crew is faster than whose. But racing really is a team sport.
Sure.
That car doesn't get to the track unless there's tons of people working on it. Right. Especially in a situation like ours. We don't have the ability to go spend countless amounts of money on a race car. We don't know everything about how these race cars work. If we want to be competitive, we have to team up with people.
Sure.
Yeah.
And kind of let me do the driving and let the people who are good at it do the crew and do the work on the car.
Sure.
I drive for a team that was formed last September, KKM Driver Development. It's the Keneally family and the Kellers, both big names in West Coast stock car racing. And they had always worked together, but they finally made a team together in September. So they've got this super cool development program. We're all kind of following Kyle Keller. He's a big time late model driver out here.
Okay.
He does the ARCA series,
hmm.
As does Robbie Keneally. And we're all looking to those drivers as like, here's what we can do, and everything that they do going forward, that's what KKM's pushing us to do.
Okay.
We look at Kyle, and he's hoping to make some NASCAR Xfinity Series starts this year. That's really? A huge, huge
Dang.
Deal. We look to that, and my family looks to that
yeah.
as like, we're with a team that is capable of putting people in those kinds of situations.
Yeah.
So the hope for me is that I can see what he's doing, prove myself at the level that I'm able to prove myself,
right.
and get those same opportunities.
Yeah, 100%.
That's awesome.
So real quick, so I don't get beat up tonight, you know what's a team sport? Podcasting.
Yeah,
because me and Jack get out in here talking, JJ does everything else.
JJ's turning the camera, JJ's, making sure yeah. everything records.
I know, right. She and your mom are having quiet conferences yeah. and adding notes. I'm like, this podcast is going to be 8 hours.
Yeah. So real quick, David said the animal that he thinks is sexy is a platypus. and go fuck yourself, Katie. Said, no, I'm not fucking weird. So,
Dude, Katie, I've met you.
Yeah, you're fucking weird.
You're an odd bird.
You are a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Fuck you, Katie. Fine, don't answer
you,
your own
You know
question.
What, Katie? You know find what? Fucking penguins sexy. Yeah, you're a fucking penguin
yeah,
fucker.
Yeah,
you penguin I'm gonna put fucker. That out there in the yeah. universe.
Oh, that's what Katie said. She likes to fuck penguins.
There we go.
There it I is. See that.
Cool. Yeah. All right, that's what it said on the board.
Ultra weird. It's because they're slick, right? They always look like they're yeah. wet. I don't yeah. know.
That makes me think there's some experience there, which kind of concerns me.
The mind goes to dark places, Nathan, dark places, okay?
Yeah. And you know what? This is our podcast. We can say she's yeah, whatever we want.
Whatever.
Get your own podcast, bitch.
One episode. I am not a penguin fucker. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
We got a new topic.
Katie out. All right. So talk to us about your future. Where you want to go? So
yeah, where do you want to
You're
go?
Moving to North Carolina. We heard that earlier. What are you doing there?
So are there more options in North Carolina for what you do?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So late model racing, which is what I do now, is the
South. That's their backyards out there. That's their yeah. bread and butter.
Okay. So out here in the state of California, we maybe have 8 tracks that you can that you can race a late model at. In the states of North and South Carolina, which is half the area, there's probably 25.
Really?
Damn.
And they all have the best competition, the best cars, and everybody from NASCAR is watching.
So does your team? You're going to stay with your team? Or are they moving with you?
For this year, we're even though we're moving out there, we're flying back to race Madera okay. and Irwindale and whatever.
So and quick little update. Mav TV broadcasts the race at Madera.
Yes.
So we can watch it on that.
So all
and
of our
stream it, I'm sure, and do a yeah. We could probably do a fuck around and find out episode.
They've got their short track TV,
okay.
and that's a subscription service.
Okay.
We
put like over here.
And then after that, about typically 2 weeks or so later, sometimes they have to delay it because they got other shows to put on. But MAV TV is a national, like it's a TV channel that's on every sports package.
Do they do NHRA? Is that MAV TV that does NHRA?
No, that's Fox now.
Is
but, it? MAV TV broadcasts these races and they produce them and they spend tens of thousands of dollars on each of these races
okay.
to put them on. They got all this prize money that they put into the drivers, into the championship, and into the broadcast of the race. They're really well put together broadcasts,
mm-hmm.
and they are all put up on national TV. We get hundreds of thousands of viewers on these races.
Oh, I bet.
It's great publicity for a driver to get sponsorship and to get notoriety.
Right.
There have been driver development deals for Toyota, like as a manufacturer, Chevy, Ford, that get signed off of these like Madera races.
Really?
Dang.
Jesse Love, he's in the Xfinity Series, won the pole for his first 2 races. Outstanding race car driver.
Mm-hmm.
He got a Toyota development deal out of Madera. So people pay attention to Madera, but when you're out in North Carolina, anything,
every race
you run the race of your life and someone's going to notice.
Okay.
You've got short track drivers now that run these late model races, and they do so well that these NASCAR teams, they'll take the risk and they'll eat the cost. They'll pay for this guy to race their equipment because they think that he's going to do well enough to make their investment back.
Right, and then everything's okay. advertisement after that, and our driver's driving the Toyota, and he's winning, and fucking yeah, that makes sense.
And once you get your foot in the door, and if the team likes you, they'll hook you on. They'll pay you to drive their car.
Well,
so
like,
that's the hope for me, is that I don't have to pay no more, and that I get paid to drive race
we
cars.
We established with some podcasts better make this thing fucking real successful if we keep sponsoring this kid.
I know, for real. We'll get you to Madeira, son, after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, fucking
okay. We hope you shout us out every now and then.
I'll keep promoting it.
At the Xfinity, you're on your own. We'll put a little fucking shot of wisdom. Little, my face, your face on this
vest. Little two beards.
I'll throw the sticker on the... They got, you know how they got the in-car cameras?
Yeah.
I'll throw it on the dash.
Yeah. Just fucking... In-car, what the fuck is that? I don't know if they paid for that sponsorship.
What are these bearded guys doing on the dash?
What the fuck?
But podcast. you're also going to school out there too, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to University of North Carolina, Charlotte.
Ladies, if you're listening in North Carolina
and you go to the university.
Oh yeah, just follow me on Instagram.
Look out for my boy.
University of North Carolina, Charlotte, to go study communications. In the highly likely event that this racing stuff doesn't all work out and I don't get to live the...
Don't bring that negative energy in here,
Denny Hamlin, hey. Kyle Larson life.
Hey. You have to speak it into fucking...
Speak it into existence.
Yes.
What does David have? Backup plan, then.
David has like a positive...
The power of positive
power
thought.
Positive
power
thought.
Positive thought.
Yeah. And but, Jack, don't you have a communications degree?
I do. I have a degree in mass communication.
Yeah.
From Arizona State.
Yeah, you could be a fucking superintendent like Jack.
Yeah, I can't let you know about construction.
Fuck you, man. Bro, I have 0 degrees.
Yeah, no, exactly. Do you have your AA yet?
No.
You'd piss off.
No. Well, no, the backup plan...
That was, you know what, that was fucking good.
The backup plan is get my degree in communications. I still want to be involved in racing no matter what. I don't think I'll stop racing until I die. But the amount of races is the only factor there. But
Nathan's always been a huge sports nut.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
He used to like statistics. Nathan would write down stuff. He had notebooks of statistics.
You want to do my math homework for me?
No, but
I don't do my own math homework.
He came over one day, and this was years ago. He was a young kid, and I was like, I don't know how to talk to this fucking kid. Like, I got a daughter who's into Barbies, and I had a box of old baseball cards, a shoebox of baseball cards. I brought out, I'm like, I'll tell you what, kid, I don't know shit about baseball. I don't even know why I have all these cards. You can have any of these cards you want. And he sat there and like filed through there. I like this guy. And he picked through all these fucking baseball cards.
That sounds about right.
And then he had like all these stats, and it was always like following sports, and he's been crazy into it. From a very young age.
And that's like, I went to a sports broadcasting camp about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Learned a lot there, but I've always had a passion for it. I've always thought that Vin Scully was the coolest guy.
He was the coolest guy.
Yeah. But I got to meet him twice.
Did you? Oh, hell yeah.
Got his autograph a couple times. But I don't know. Yet again, that's just the way that my brain works. I can see a game and I can analyze people based off of stats. I can analyze people based off of what I know about these games. I don't profess to be some crazy talented athlete. I've played a lot of these sports when I was 8. But I don't profess to be any good at them, but I can watch them as someone who consumes a lot of sports, and I can kind of just, I don't know, I guess I got a knack for it.
You know what's in his future? Sports betting.
Don't. Barry, quit poisoning this child.
Hey, he's not wrong.
I'll go half with you, bud.
Quit poisoning this child.
Just saying.
Yeah. But he's so well-spoken.
Yeah.
Very articulate.
He's a good kid. I think this is the first time I've ever fucking actually hung out with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last time, I think the only other time I've seen you was, like 8 years ago?
No, probably not something that long, like that. But you were probably a child, and I don't make it a habit of hanging out with kids.
Good.
Thank you.
I don't want to hang out with mine.
That's not good for the reputation.
Good for you.
Yeah,
good for
you. I'm not P. Diddy, bitch. Jesus. Too soon?
Check around our Fuck Around and Find Out episode if you don't know what's going
on. All right, man.
We digress again. Which rabbit hole are we fucking in now? This is why JJ's here, Jesus Christ.
Yes, all right, we'll stay on topic. So,
let's talk about your racing team. So, Lionheart Racing is the name that you guys came up with, and you can tell us the story about Lionheart Racing. I've known the story, and it's as touching and as any story can be, but I'm going to let you tell it because I don't want to cry on my podcast.
Do I need another fucking drink?
It's a different one.
All right, cool. Let's hear it.
For those of you who if you pay attention to racing, you may know the name Lionheart. Mm-hmm. So that was Dan Weldon. He was a racer that was really good in IndyCar. He died, and I was actually at the race where he died. So that was something that I thought about then, and I still think about now, is like, I'm Lionheart Racing, but he's kind of the Lionheart. But really what we came up with was, it takes a lot of pride, or not pride, but courage, to race and to do all these things that it takes to be a good race car driver and to get where you need to be. But that same pride, or that same courage, is what you need to get through what I've been through with my heart. I was born with a congenital heart defect called tetralogy of Fallot. I've had 3 open heart surgeries, 8 surgeries total. And not just that courage and that determination from myself, but also from my family and from the people that are around me, which goes back to racing being a team sport. Mm-hmm. I'm nowhere in racing without my parents and without my family and without my sponsors. But we kind of looked at that and saw kind of a parallel there, and we figured that a lion made perfect sense for that. And then, of course, with my heart issues, we kind of tied that in with the heart. So it's Lionheart. We got an EKG on our logo.
That's fucking dope.
I've seen more EKGs than I would have cared to if I had a choice. But here we are. There's nothing I can change about it now. So as a family, we all kind of just... We've had these talks, and it's like, yeah, it sucks that this is something I have to go through, but, like, deal with it. And we all deal with it, and I think we've done a really good job about that. The day after I was born, they got the news that I had this congenital heart defect that would never go away.
Yeah.
And they got told that I was going to have surgery within the first year of my life. They were going to cut my chest open.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how much that wrecked my mom.
Yeah.
Wait till you have kids.
mom is sitting in the studio right now, trying to bury herself in a baseball cap.
No, it'll fuck your day up, dude. As soon as you're a parent, you'll understand. And I can only imagine so I have a son. I have an 8-year-old, and Jack has kids. And I cannot imagine getting news. Because you're helpless as a parent. Yes. And there's nothing that you can do. But you know what you don't do? You don't have the fucking why me mentality.
And you don't give up.
You don't give up. No.
And that's really what it's been from my family. Is I've got a mom, a dad, a stepdad, grandparents, family, friends, everybody that knows about me and knows about this story fights for me.
Right.
And it does kind of take a little bit of the burden off of me. Of course I have to fight for my own health.
Right.
Don't be a dumbass. Don't go smoke. Don't go hurt yourself. Don't
good
go
advice in life, my guy.
Don't go do all that stuff.
Hey, where were you when I was 18? I could have used this fucking talk.
You motherfucker. I did a pep talk at 18 too. What the fuck?
But it's taken a lot of that fight out of my own hands. And I've been really, really blessed to have the family that I have and the support that I've had. And we felt that Lionheart was a good way to honor that. And we donate proceeds from our shirts and from our merchandise to Children's Hospital of Orange County. They saved my life when I was young. They saved my life when I was 10 years older.
Do you have a website that people can buy your merch on?
We do not. We're working on a website. You can always check us out, like, at the races. You can talk to my mom. We call her the money chick.
We'll plug that. It's a good cause.
Hey, we know somebody in this room that's really good at making websites real quick.
Yeah. But
me and Jack talking, JJ really does everything else.
JJ can fucking help. So
Instagram.
Just reach out to me, reach out to the race Instagram, reach out to my mom.
Yeah.
What is it, Larissa Ehlers Realtor?
It's for a good cause.
And yeah, we take proceeds out of that to donate to Chalk. I think we've donated upwards of $6,000.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because we feel that that's a cause that they've fought for me.
Right.
They've gone to the trouble of making sure that me and my family were taken care of and that I'm able to do what I am doing now.
Right.
We feel that's a good way to give back to them and 100%. To give those families that are going through similar things to what I've gone through that same chance.
That's awesome. It's such an admirable quality that instead of becoming a victim of something and succumbing to it.
It's so
and
easy.
The fucking woe is me mentality of so many young people this day. And I see somebody that just goes, yeah, I got it. And I'm that dealing sucks. With it. And we're going to move on.
And then? Like,
and then?
Yeah. And I drive a fucking race car, bitch.
I've had one why me moment in my whole life. And I'll blame it on being young and laying there and having these tubes pulled out of me after a surgery. There's nothing you gain out of saying, why me?
No.
You're in this situation. You deal with it how you want to. You can live in the misery of it. You can live in being pissed off about it. Or you can make the best of it. Yeah. And I think I've made the best of it. I'm driving a race car, not having to worry about anything. I go to work when I work, but I get to drive race cars on the weekends. Like, life could be a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah.
So,
you know, a lot of people have worse lives.
I take what I can get.
Yeah,
I've been through some very difficult things. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I've been through things that people don't understand.
Yeah.
You've been through things that people don't survive.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If I was born 60, 70 years earlier, I'm not here.
Dude, like, there are still people that don't survive that first surgery, mm-hmm. even modern times.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're operating on a 6-month-old baby whose heart doesn't work because there's a hole in the two sides of the heart. If you don't know what tetralogy of Fallot is, which I wouldn't expect anybody to, it's a really rare congenital disease. There's a hole in the two sides of the between the two sides of the heart.
Mm.
So blood's just kind of going wherever it wants to.
Okay.
And your body doesn't get the blood that it needs. Well, yeah, but that's the one that... Anyways, when you're operating on a 6-month-old baby whose body doesn't get the oxygen that it needs, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, but I've had some... I had Dr. Von Starn's, probably the best cardiac surgeon alive, work on my heart a couple times, so I've been really blessed to be where I'm at now after all of that.
Well, that's amazing. But I think, too, like, I think your mentality has carried you a long way.
It
is. And will continue to carry you a long way as well.
So, never give up, man. That's the thing, man. And that's kind of the fucking principle that we try to preach, man, is that never give up on you. Like, you are your biggest fucking supporter and your biggest advocate. And you have to believe that you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
To be fine.
Yep.
Like, and if you just call it like, fuck it, that's it, and then my life is over and all this shit, your mentality will create your fucking difficulties.
My parents tell me a lot when it comes to racing, because I'll say these crazy goals, like, I want to win X race, or I want to finish here. And then I'll kind of talk myself out of it. And my mom's the main one that does this, is don't sell yourself short, because you're giving yourself an out.
Yeah.
When you give yourself an out, you're okay with failure.
Yeah.
I don't see a reason to do that in life.
Right.
I could sit here and I could complain about it. I could bitch about all my circumstances. I have a loving family.
Mm-hmm.
I get to drive race cars.
Yeah.
And I'm still alive after all the things that I've been through. Why complain?
Right. Awesome. You know, and so what we talk about here, and you listen to podcasts, man, is everybody's got a thing.
Yep.
Everybody has a thing, man. Some people are more pressing than others, or more important than... Everybody looks at their thing like it's the most important, right? So if you just keep fucking striving, man, fucking do your best. Learn from your mistakes. If you finished a tenth of fucking second off, to me, that sounds like not bad.
No.
It sounds like you were in it. Like, fucking, so I don't, you know, and you're going to judge yourself harsher than I would if you told me you lost by a tenth of a second. Because to me, I'm like, that's no time at all. You can make that up. You can figure out, hey, I lost in this corner. Or I because you guys time everything, and everything's... Mm-hmm. I'm sure computer analysis and you have all the fucking data.
And that's what separates the people who were born for this and the people who weren't. The people who were born from it can see, one, they know what they did wrong.
Right.
And two, even if they don't, they can take what they're hearing from the people who know.
Right.
You don't even have to be a driver. If you're around race cars or whatever it is, whatever sport it is that you're doing, you don't even have to be good at the sport to know what it takes to make someone good.
Right.
So the people that are really good at it, especially in racing, if you listen to the people around you that know what they're talking about, and you take what they say, mm-hmm. and you do it, and you don't get hard-headed, and you don't think, oh, I'm better than everybody. Yeah. I know better. I'm the driver. Me and my dad joke all the time, I'm the talent.
Yeah.
It's me and Jack. We are the talent.
But if you don't...
We're not that talented, this fucking podcast.
If you don't, I need to talk to him.
If you don't sit there and act like you're better than everybody, and you actually take criticism, and you learn from it, that's what separates the people who were born for it from the people who do it for fun.
Yeah. Dude, you can apply that to everything.
That's life. Life, everything is a learning experience.
That's how I look at life.
Yeah. That's how it is.
I'll take the things that I'm good at, and I'll be happy with being good at them. But if I want to get better at it, I'm not going to sit here and think I'm going to make myself better by just doing what I know, because I know more than everybody.
Right.
I don't. I'm an 18-year-old. I don't know shit.
You got a long time. But knowing that now mm-hmm. puts you miles ahead of every yep. other fucking asshole who's 18 right now.
Oh, dude, you're an old soul. I'll tell you a funny thing. Another thing Nathan that really like fucking floored me is when they first talked about moving to North Carolina, they were like, this is when Nathan was 17. He said, Larissa and Jason said, Nathan told us, you know what? I won't be able to afford a life here. I won't be able to buy a house. I won't be able to have a family. I won't be able to have any of this here. I don't want to stay in California because I can't afford it.
The median house price in California right now is $850,000.
But him at 17 to have that, yeah, that foresight, I was like...
If I had that at 17, I'd own a block in Menifee.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Those five-bedroom houses were going for $250,000, and my thought was, how the fuck does anybody afford $250,000?
Yeah, now it's quadruple that.
Yeah. Now, I would have bought a block, and I'd been retiring now.
If you want to live in Orange County, you need $1 million, and you need to be making $250,000.
And you're going
to
get a shithole like, mm-hmm. for $1 million. Oh, yeah. You're not getting a nice house. Yeah.
But it was crazy. I'm like 17, he had that... Yeah. Dude, at 17, I didn't know. I was trying to figure out where I was going to get fucking beer next.
Yeah.
Well, and based on that, I got a question for you guys.
No, we're going to do that here.
No more shit about animals.
Okay, no, it doesn't have anything to do with animals. Right.
Yes, you should invest in yourself.
If you could tell your 18-year-old self one thing, what would it be?
Oh, fuck.
So I joined the military at 18. I wish I would have made investments at 18. Because I'd be a lot better now, like, especially for you. Because you get purses for winning these races and placing and mm-hmm. doing all these things. I would take, since you have no bills, right? You live mm-hmm. at home. Take some of your money and invest it. And I don't care if you put it in a Roth. I don't care if you like cryptocurrency. I don't care what you like. Invest in you, because there's going to be a day when you're mine and Jack's age where you're thinking, fuck, when I was 18, if I would have done this, I'd been a millionaire right now. Mm-hmm. So... invest. Take some money, because you're not going to miss it, and throw it into something that I don't think you necessarily need a financial planner, but talk to somebody who knows good things that yield well, and I mean, there's a lot of... The stock market's fucking crazy, but I would say 401k, but if you don't have a job that offers a 401k, I would say Roth IRA.
Well, and for me, like, I've got friends that do that, and mm-hmm. I think it's really smart, and I can look at that and be like, what's $250 now if I can turn it into $5,000 30 years from now?
No, you'll turn it into more than that. So they say if you invest between 18 and like 22,
yeah,
off that money, making money off of that money, you can retire. You don't have to put in anymore, because you got to think, if your money makes money for 40 years, you're fucking set. Like, if you put $10,000 in
compounding interest.
Yeah, if you put $10,000 in now, never fucking touch it. Just forget about it. You will be fine when you retire. So 18-year-old me, I would fucking do that. And I'm going to tell you, I would fucking do that, because you're not even going to miss the money. Like, mm-hmm. what the fuck do you need?
Was that an actual question?
Yeah, what do you need? Like, yeah. Do you need new shoes? Do you need new fucking pants? Do you need to fucking pay yourself?
No, she buys that.
Exactly. So
all I pay for is my own food and some repairs to the car.
So when you're 18, this is what you think about, right? Like I need this. You need at 18. I need a new car. I need a nice car. I need nice clothes. I need to fucking go out and hang out with my friends. You don't need a goddamn thing.
I wear worn out racing t-shirts and the same five pair of pants.
100%. And I'm going to tell you this. Don't move out of their house. Stay there forever.
because if I could still live,
you better get used to me, man.
But take some money, man, and it doesn't have to be a ton. Whatever you're comfortable with, because you're not going to miss it. You got to think, like, you don't have any bills. Like, the money that you use, if you want to go out, you want to go have fun, you want to do something, if you want to go to a concert, whatever your thing is.
You keep that.
Yeah. But other than that, you don't fucking need anything right now. And if you think when you're, because you hit 40 tomorrow. I mean, like, you fucking blink and you're 40. You hit 40 and you have $700,000 in your fucking Roth. You're not worried about a goddamn thing, and you're not fucking missing that concert that you didn't fucking go to.
And you're retiring early.
And you're retiring early. I want to punch out at 55. I mean, like, and that's, I want to be there. But if I could have started at 18, if somebody would have told me, I'd be almost done right now.
That's the life.
Yeah. That is fucking, that's the best advice that I never got that I can give is invest in yourself, because there's going to be a day, we can't work forever. Who the fuck wants to work forever? But there's a point in time where you can't make any more fucking money, and whatever you have is what you have. So you got to think about that young, and that's and it doesn't have to be. You don't have to put $10,000 in a fucking Roth tomorrow. $100 here, $100 there, whatever you have. Chump change. You're like fucking, oh yeah, I have this extra $100 from doing this thing. Boom, here, put it in. It is. It goes fucking miles at your age.
Yeah, I would say like school came easy to me. I never had to study.
Fuck you, Jack.
The same way.
Dude, I'm like, I read a chapter. The only thing I don't do well at is math, but I would read a chapter. My sister's got flashcards and a strategy. I read the chapter and then I can regurgitate it to you. So school and things like that kind of came easy to me. So, you know, I have a really hard work ethic. I work super hard and I still do. I'm very self-motivated. I'm a very driven person for the folks that know me.
Yes. I know you.
Yeah.
Do you know?
We put up racks in my garage over the weekend.
Yeah. When I got to college, I kind of like, oh, fuck, I don't have my dad like driving me and this shit came easy. And I kind of really like relaxed. And I took my gifts for granted.
Yeah.
And I could have really advanced my life so much more in the 4 years that I spent at college instead of squandering my time on partying and doing the things I did. And I always try to trick myself, right? I work better under pressure.
Yeah.
So I would procrastinate.
I did the same
procrastinate. Oh, I work so much better under pressure. No, I fucking don't. I get it done.
You get it done because you have to.
And I'll never forget my senior year of college. I actually started doing my stuff ahead of time and getting my shit done. And my senior year of college was my easiest year of college. And I remember sitting there and I kicking myself in the ass at 22 and going, dude, it all could have been this easy if I would have just done the work.
Yeah.
So my thing would be like, put the fucking work in place and then have the fun after that. Get your shit squared away. Get your life squared away. There is plenty of time for fun.
If you want to have fun, but don't do it at the expense of your work.
Exactly. Here's an analogy, right, that you'll fucking get. Never take your foot off the gas.
No?
Yes.
All right?
No?
Fucking life is fast, bro. Like, think about it. You're 18. I was 18 yesterday. Like, it goes so fast. Keep your foot on the fucking gas. Worry about you. What makes you happy. Don't fuck everybody else, bro. Because your friends, we talk about this all the time. No. Your friends in high school, how many friends do you have left? I got 7 zero. Years. I got zero.
Here's a real sad thing. You have a 7-year cycle on a lot of friendships.
And you're going to move. You're going to meet new people, man. Yeah. Like, 5 years ago, me and Jack didn't know each other.
No.
But we're doing a podcast now. We're really good friends. We hang out a lot. You go through cycles in life, man, and I would not fucking worry about a single person that you know, because especially if you're moving, you have Facebook. You have all the things now, but it's not the same.
But you talk about racing, right? How quick you're – a blink of an eye is 0.4 seconds.
Yeah, that's your life.
I'll never forget. My dad dropped me off at my dorm at Arizona State, and I go up. I start putting my posters on the wall and unpacking my shit. And I'm sitting on the edge of my bed, and my roommate walks in, and I meet him. And then I swear to God, my next memory, the posters are off the wall. I'm sitting in the same position on the edge of my bed. Mm-hmm. My dorm room is empty. And I went, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, my first year of college is done.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so fast. It was fucking wild. But
I did 8 years in the military, and I don't know how the fuck I got here.
Oh, dude.
Like, life is a roller coaster, man. And it's fun. It's what you make it. But I promise you, if you invest in you now, you will look back in 20 years and be like, God damn, that podcast was the best thing I did because it made me think about my future.
But you can have, dude, I really wish, too, that you can have so much fucking fun, and you will have so much better fun if you know your shit squared away.
Fun doesn't go anywhere.
Dude, if it's done, and it's like you, like me, it comes easy to you, just fucking do it. Just fucking do it. Get it done. Push through it. It's not that hard to push through fucking homework and all that. No. Like, get it done, and then go have all the fucking fun you want after that.
Fun
and then,
does not go anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I have a fucking thing that I say, like the party starts when I get there.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't fucking care what you guys were doing before I got here. I'm here now. So, don't worry about that, dude. Focus on school, 100%, because I don't have a degree. So, I can't speak to it, but Jack has a degree, and college is supposed to be a good time in your life, where you are still young enough to have fun, and learn responsibility, and build yourself up to getting a degree, right? You know, and obtaining that. And that's what employers want to know, is that you can fucking focus on one thing. And, you know, but if you're going to race, which I fucking hope you do, you're not going to be employed by fucking anybody. So fucking have fun.
But still, you know, you do it. Like, school's a job.
School is a job.
Right. School's a job. You do it for 4 years. You can do all the other stuff you want to do on top of it.
And four years is fast. Think about how long you've been going to school. 12 years. How fast did that go?
See, it feels like a long time because
you're 18.
Because I'm 18, yeah. And it's 2/3 of my life.
18 to 25 felt like a long time. 25 to I'm 36. I'll be 37 at the end of this month. Gone. Fucking, I blinked, bro. Like, I don't have I have a fucking 8-year-old who's gonna be 9. I don't know how the fuck this happened.
I have a 13-year-old who just turned 13. Dude, she was just born.
Yeah,
like two weeks ago. How do you grow? It's like Benjamin Button.
I remember her being. Like, I remember Charlotte being born. I remember Ella being small.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of weird for me to... That makes me feel old.
welcome to it, son.
As an 18-year-old.
So you have things to look forward to up until 18, right? So at 18, you had to look forward to, like, I'm an adult.
Yes.
At 25, I looked forward to, I can rent a car.
Now you can run for president.
Now I can run for president? Like, what do I have left?
Like, you're eligible for Social Security?
Yeah. Now you're a member of the AARP.
Yeah. There's nothing left to look forward to. So your days are long, but your weeks are short.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. Like, as soon as you get out of high school, man, like, you, like, I, same as you, man, I thought it took forever. I'm like, I can't wait to be an adult. I wish I could go back and kick me in the dick. Like, for real. I would have stayed home forever. Like, I loved, you know, my time in the military, and I made really good friends, man. But if I could do it all over again with what I know now, I would have bought Bitcoin. Because when I was coming up, Bitcoin was fucking nothing. And it's $70,000 a coin right now.
We digress.
Yeah, hindsight, foresight, 2020, you know, fucking, oh, yeah, whatever.
You think we,
Yeah, we put a fucking... You got sponsors you want to thank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they listen to this podcast?
I don't know.
I don't know if we thank them.
they should or should
they
not.
They might if they know they're getting
messages. All right. Yeah. Shout out your guys.
But yeah, first and foremost, want to thank KKM Driver Development for taking a chance on me. I'm not some kid that can just buy their way to the top like you see a bunch in racing. It takes a lot for a team to take that risk. EconoWare has helped me a ton. They are why I'm here. They're why I'm able to race at the level that I am. They're why I was able to race as often as I was last year.
Okay.
Of course, the Shattered Wisdom podcast.
Yeah. We got you, bud. Don't worry about us. You don't have to shout us out, man. We're here for you. Don't worry.
But, Roofing Standards and 24-Hour Restoration Company, they've all been a huge help this year.
Okay.
Getting us squared away for the... Well, I'm getting there.
Mom's over here like, what the fuck?
they've all been helping us get squared away for vast majority of this year.
Okay.
And then, of course, my family has given me so much, and you'll always hear me whenever I win a race in the winner interview. I'll refer to it as a crazy dream, because it really is. It's insane that they let me, that they spend all this money on me to go drive an expensive race car in circles.
Well, because they fucking expect you to win and repay it back to you. There's this is not a hobby for you. This is what the fuck you're gonna do.
It is. It's because they believe in me, yeah, and 100%. They believe in me far more than I ever could have expected them to.
Yeah, well, I believe in you, man, and I just fucking, you know, I don't fucking know you, but I like you, man, and I want to see good things for you.
Thank you.
And you know, we sponsor you now, so I wouldn't fucking sponsor you if I didn't think that you could be great.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
So, be the best you, man, and you don't have to win every race, man. Nobody wins every fucking race. You look at even NASCAR drivers, they don't win every fucking race. Fucking look at all the greats. Who are the greatest NASCAR drivers right now?
Kyle Larson. Kyle Larson wins 5 to 10% of the races.
5 to 10%. You know what? It's like baseball. If you hit 20% of the fucking time, you're in the league. Like, you don't have to win.
You hit 30% of the time, you're one of the best ever.
Yeah, dude, you're one of the best fucking players to play the game. So you don't have to win every race. You don't have to fucking, you know, kill yourself to try to make sure that, I have to be on the podium every time. You just got to be consistent. Consistency is key. And we'll sponsor you every fucking year, man. And whatever you need, we are behind you. And
absolutely.
I don't know anybody else who races cars, but
fuck, we don't need to know anybody else.
Fuck everybody else.
You got the one.
Yeah, I got the one. Yeah. So I'm super happy that you could make it out, man, and finally get on this podcast. And I don't know why your parents let you listen to this, but but I appreciate it.
Well, we've been talking about Spotify.
But we've been talking about doing this for a while.
We've been talking about this for a minute. Yeah, 100%. So what do you think, man? We put a tranquilizer in this one?
I think we dart this one.
We dart this motherfucker. All right, man. So I'll say Top Golf. Do you golf?
I love golf.
Top Golf is coming up. 6-1. We are doing an event at Top Golf. You want to come and maybe have some of your fans come?
Yeah.
We could do a collab.
It's June 1st. I'll have to block that off of my schedule.
Yeah, let us know.
I love Top Golf. I've been to the one out here,
right here
in Ontario.
That's where we're doing.
I've been to the one in Vegas.
Yeah.
I love golfing. I love Top Golf.
Yeah. And then I don't know if you, you're not old enough. Never mind. But I don't know if you like,
you want to drive us to Dofo?
Yeah, that'd be cool. We're doing a salmon fishing trip in Washington. I keep hitting this fucking mic. We're doing a salmon fishing trip in Washington and we are doing a crabbing trip in Washington. We sponsor a guide boat. So if you are interested in that or you know, whatever, we'll talk later. But we got that coming up. If you want a Frenchie puppy, we have Frenchies that are going to be that little fucker downstairs is pregnant. Yeah. If you want something for North Carolina.
We already have Bo.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to text Jason.
Yeah, we are going to go live as soon as JJ fucking tells us we can. And we digress.
That's it.
I think so.
I think she's
dead. Hey, this whistle pig was fucking delicious. It's almost gone. I appreciate you bringing this.
Yeah, we've almost killed that bottle. Even though you're not allowed to drink it. Yeah, thank you for bringing us whiskey and watching us drink it.
Thank you.
Yeah, so contributing to the delinquency of adults.
So
typically it's the other way around.
Yeah. So, you know what?
What?
Fuck you, Brad.
Fuck you, Brad.
Fuck you, Brad. You gotta say fuck you, Brad.
Fuck you, Brad.
Yes.
Now contributing to the delinquency of a minor.
I haven't said fuck you, Brad, in a long time, so fuck you, Brad. Yeah, man. Fucking, I've been Jarrett.
I've been Jack.
And I've been Nathan. I guess I'm the new one.
Yeah. This is fucking Shattered Wisdom Podcast, man. You guys are welcome.